Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome everyone to this new episode of Sugar Free. My name is Areski Sugar and I'm a stand-up comedian in Paris. In this episode, I had the pleasure to talk to Elspeth Grady and James Blows, two other stand-up comedians in the English comedy scene in Paris. We talked about comedy cultures, we talked about pétanque, yeah, we talked a lot about pétanque. Because James Blows is apparently trying to be Frencher than the French. And now he's addicted to pétanque. So we kind of had to do an intervention to save him from that. The video version of this episode is available on my YouTube channel. You can click on the link in the description of this episode if you want to see our faces. I don't know why, but you can. You can also click on my guests' names in the description, so you can follow them on Instagram, because as comedians, we love to see them numbers grow. Enjoy this episode. Oh yeah, just a heads up. There's a little backstory before we recorded that episode. James and I had to go on a rescue mission to save Elspeth, who was locked in another building thinking it was mine, so we had to get out and save her. I mean, this story has to be told because for once we're heroes, so now you know, and we talked about this a little bit at the beginning. So enjoy everything. Subscribe and rate the podcast 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, and you know what to do. And bisous.
I got to 138 and I thought I've gone too far. Oh, sorry, I've given you away your address.
Oh, no,
for all your stalkers. So I thought, I'll go back 2 doors. And there was no number above it. Paris.
So I thought
this must
here.
Be the right one.
Yeah,
and just a guy just happened to be coming out with his bike. I thought, oh, good timing. I don't have to punch in the code.
Of course.
If I had done that, you know, I'd have realized it didn't work.
Obviously.
So I go in and I hold the door so that he can go out. Very nice and very polite. And then I try to find you. And you don't exist. So I get stuck. So I thought, well, I'll go out again. I mean, I look at all the letterboxes, can't find your name. So I push the door button where it says bot.
Yes. Nothing. To get out again.
To get out of the building. Because there were 2 doors. But one had codes and things and no names.
Yeah,
nothing.
We like SAS, I think, here in Paris.
And luckily it had oxygen in the SAS. And it wouldn't budge. The door wouldn't open. So I was stuck between 2 doors.
Wow. But without intercom, right?
With no intercom,
that's,
no people,
that is
nothing.
Weird. That's the thing I don't understand. What's the point of having this if you cannot even control who can come in, right? Because you need to, you just need to have 2 codes.
Code. Yeah. I don't
that's
know if
weird.
It's the same as the first one.
Yeah. But then if you live in that building, you never know when people are just going to ring at your door.
No, because they can't ring. I think they just do a second code. Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, your in. Actual
yeah.
door.
So anybody that actually slips into that building could go where they want, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's possibly the most elaborate excuse to be tardy I've ever heard of.
I mean. Yeah, but we actually witnessed a witness to that thing.
Look, I don't know how often she comes to this neighborhood, how busy she knows the ins and outs of everything here.
Do you think Els just hired someone to get stuck with?
Yeah, some bike leaving? Like, yeah okay, as if
weird.
You could fit a bike through that door.
Right. You know, you could have just said, you know, I'm going to be 10 minutes late.
Yeah, so it's like
some sexy guy would have been okay, but I was stuck on my own. And so
But
you have to get into the logical, what shall I do type
But
thing.
I have to say, James, you were just the best at, you know, just take a video of the door so we can recognize it from the outside.
Just, as there was no number.
I love it. And we actually did, thanks to that. And when we opened, so there was
In the meantime, I decided to do, you told me to do some Spanish-style hammering. So I did some hammering because there was a glass door. So I could see that there was nobody around. I could see there were was one door, but I didn't know how many apartments. So I started hammering like crazy. And I was really impressed with the noise that I made, actually, I have to say.
As a British.
And eventually this girl came down the stairs. I think she was just going out anyway. I don't think she was responding to my hammering. And she was going, you want to go out? And I was like, yeah, I'm stuck. And she said, oh, yeah, there's been a problem with the door. And I said, so you can't get out either. She's going, no, I got stuck in here. She didn't seem at all, totally fazed.
That's
I said, is there another way
weird.
Out? You know?
Like, she lives here, but she can leave her house. Yeah. And she was really cool about it. She was like, oh, punch in the code. It's 1960. Okay, so you actually do need to do that to anyone on the street every time you get out of your house? Okay, great.
Yeah.
She did seem extremely cool about it. Maybe she didn't actually need to go out for the rest of the weekend. Maybe she was one of these people that hasn't been out. She's been in front of a computer, was trying it for the first time. I thought, this is God's sign.
Or you hired her as an actor for this whole play.
Yeah, absolutely. Because for my career, that was fantastic.
The thing is, I wouldn't like those kind of sass without the intercom, because already ringing at my bell at the door is like some kind of invasion of privacy for me. So I need to know who's downstairs first.
Yeah.
And like a benevolent king lets you in or not.
Yeah.
And then after we'll talk. But I feel the same way, James.
It's true about like even phone calls too. You get a phone call from an unknown number.
Right.
It's not comfortable.
Forget it. Yeah.
It's not comfortable.
But yeah,
text me first that you're going to call me.
Yeah, give me a heads up that we're gonna have to speak.
So, what are you up to these days?
Well, I'm not coming to Paris again, that's for sure.
No, I find myself asking a lot of questions that I wouldn't have asked prior. For example, is a glass of wine heavier than a glass of water?
Well,
I mean, probably, yes.
Right. But like when I measured on a scale, I have like a scale thing. It's not accurate enough.
Yes, of course. You have
show.
To have like a really.
But you would imagine, you know, like wine has water in it, right?
Yes.
But it's got
also,
other stuff.
Yeah.
So
it's
wouldn't it
denser.
Wouldn't it be more dense, more heavy?
Yeah.
If it's got all that grit at the bottom.
Yeah, that would, the sediment.
So basically you change your apartment into a lab?
No, not at all. Just so, you know, or like.
You're measuring some more
just,
interesting
I don't
things.
Know, I've been thinking like, you know, like how many teeth are in my mouth?
Mm. Okay, this you can kind of answer easily if you can.
You're in the right place.
You know what I mean? Like, and do I have the right amount?
Did you?
And are they in the right places?
Right.
Did you put all those questions in the notebook somewhere and try to answer
it's
them?
It's just like, you know, I'm just trying to stay sane. I mean,
I have a really good book that answers a lot of questions like that. I don't know if those ones are particularly in it.
Right.
I think the teeth one you can find pretty easily.
Yes.
I think it's
but it's
yes, usually, but you never know. You don't know
I've
his history.
Teeth. Have you got wisdom teeth?
I've had all of them removed, and I had supernumericals as well. The the extra teeth.
And they removed them also?
They did.
Okay.
And they charged me for them also. And
yes,
we didn't know we had them. So it was like, here's four teeth, and here's this little thing, and
that's
here's the bill.
Steak,
yeah. Oh, that's, you know, that's how it is.
It's like the appendix, isn't it?
I don't know the history of the appendix.
It's the same
did you
thing.
Get your appendix removed?
Of course.
Of course.
You got it out? All right.
Yeah, when I was 14.
Wow.
I had appendicitis, but I'd been for a midnight picnic with my friend. I was 14. And so I got home, and so I said, oh, I feel a bit sick. And so my mom was going, yeah,
you
sick.
Shouldn't have stayed out late. That's right. Yeah.
And so I like, got to about, you know, like 5 o'clock, and I was like, I'm dying. This is not because of the picnic.
Oh, my goodness.
Then they took me to hospital just before it burst.
Okay.
Drama. I like drama.
I hear astronauts have to have them removed in case they, you know, so that
true.
They don't.
Did they get them out prior?
Yeah. But I don't know if it's still done right now.
I think that's for to lighten the load when they have to fly.
Yeah, right. We're taking
like,
the weight.
Anything they can get rid of.
So they do get wisdom teeth out.
Wisdom teeth are out. Yeah. Appendix.
The hair.
Hair.
Extra kidney.
Do they chop?
Donate.
Anything off then?
Can you? Possibly. I have an astronaut kidney.
Just one kidney. I mean.
To that. Yeah. There's a doc I cannot watch on Netflix. It's about the Challenger. spaceship, whatever.
Yes.
That blew up in 1986.
January 28th.
Yeah. Because I've just seen the trailer. I'm already bummed by this.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, the first time that a teacher, like a normal teacher, was going to be an astronaut and she was trained with the other astronauts, et cetera, and they die. No, I mean, I have the whole story already, right?
So you don't
in those two lines, I don't need to like get attached to someone who I know is going to die after.
Yeah.
I mean, except if the doc was ending by, you know, and actually they're all alive now. Or
Yeah.
Like
I just think of like the class of kids that like got to follow that whole narrative, and they're like, all right, today's launch day, kids, let's all watch together in the class, and then
horrible.
The horror, and then forever.
James.
Yeah.
You know, and
was
then you become who? Elon Musk. That's who you become. Elon Musk, you're like, I'm going to be able to put anyone on Mars.
Yeah, but take profit from that. That's the
That's thing. A cynical way to look at it.
Yeah, but because back with the Challenger, it was like, you know what? We can put anyone in space, but it's NASA. It's all of us together. And then they fail and they're like, yeah, we're going to stop doing whatever we're doing in space.
Yeah.
Just going to launch satellites, have GPS. And that's
dogs. Yeah. We're waiting.
Right. That's it.
Oh, man.
Just gonna weigh wine and water in space. That's it.
See, there's so many other questions that you didn't think about.
But
there's a lot of documentaries I wouldn't want to watch. I mean, there's also films like that one about the guy who chopped his arm off.
Yes,
127
hours.
That.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It's basically the same thing. I mean, you know what's happening. So if you tell me, oh, the guy gets stuck, he removes his arm, and then he saves himself to tell a story. Okay, I have it.
Need to watch that.
Yeah, do I need to like see the whole hesitation? And I mean, yeah, probably.
Well, if you're in what a particularly perverted mood, perhaps.
Yeah, right. Because it's not like there's a love story between the boulder and him, or whatever. You know, it's not Titanic.
Is it a long film?
Can you imagine? It was actually a breakup. He was like. It was like masturbating against the boulder. Like, you don't love me anymore.
And just took
like
it
me
off.
Me down in that sass. I would cut, exactly. Cut off. But
right. Are you watching a lot of movies or docs or whatever these days?
Movies. Let's see, last movie I saw. I get a subscription to the Criterion Collection.
Oh, nice.
So I watch older films and things like that. Not on a regular basis. I think I watch more Netflix.
Yeah, like normal
specials
being.
In some TV shows.
Oh, so you still watch stand up?
Yeah, definitely.
I think I've forgotten stand up a little bit.
Yeah, me too. I don't find it funny anymore.
Not watching it, like not even old stuff or.
No.
The last thing I watched was James Acaster, which was.
Oh, wait, yeah,
excellent.
Right.
I really enjoyed that.
He's
but
good.
I'm very, very picky. I don't find things funny when I'm watching online. So.
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And especially French stuff. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry, France. Sorry, which France. I do find funny often when I'm there.
Yeah,
I think
right.
It's just, or maybe I made the wrong selection.
Hmm. I don't watch any French stand-up comedy.
So your French hasn't improved?
Because you have good taste then.
Doesn't want to be influenced.
No, just because, to be honest, I'm kind of ignorant of the scene, and I don't know. And also, like, I'm watching through subtitles, so a lot of it kind of gets lost. Even if I get some of it, there's so much slang that I would definitely miss as well. So,
yeah.
But
so you don't feel a necessity to imbibe yourself with the culture being in France.
Oh no, I do. But just the fact that I can't watch
just stand up.
Stand up is something. Watching a French film or something like that, and keeping the subtitles, but trying to focus on what they're saying.
It's like there's not much happening anyway in a French film, generally.
Oh come on, now. I mean, unbelievable. Not every film can be made by Mike Lee or somebody like that.
Last French film you watched?
The last French film I watched was Cleo 9 to 5, I think it was.
Oh, yeah.
Old film.
Yeah. So was it part of the Criterion Collection?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like it sounds...
It's very American to, you know, watch the new wave films or whatever.
And I could watch that movie. Was it Day Fritz? Day Fritz. What's that?
I don't know, actually.
You know what I'm talking about?
Les Bronzés or something.
Yeah, they're people that are like screaming about French fries and stuff. Like... That's something interesting. In the U.S., we think French film is quite sophisticated, but when you come to France, it's actually just the most popular films are comedies.
Are, yeah.
And not dramatic or intellectual
I mean, they don't win César or whatever. But yeah, obviously the most tickets are sold for the dumb stuff.
Very cultural and don't translate. You know? Right, so yeah, they yeah. don't get to the States. It's all Amélie Poulain.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing is, in the States, we have the same, but people still watch like the Oscar-winning films. Like, see what I mean? Like, I feel like I was just deceived thinking that the French tastes were just as nuanced or sophisticated in a way.
I mean, they do watch still the movies that win the César. No, I'm going to say a lot of people, but there are some people in France who watches them.
Yeah,
no?
And they put them on in the cinema, so you can right, okay. watch them. Okay. You know, once they've won, they get shown.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I did fall asleep to one of them. That was the one, The Tree of Life, but that was American.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sounds magnifique. Yeah. Right. I mean, it's a good film to fall asleep in front of. Mm. It's like it's a whole journey.
Is it just wake me up when Brad Pitt comes back? Because he disappeared at the beginning, didn't he? He was there, then he went.
But it's not really. I mean, it's like a doc, by the way. It's like just you know what? It's like a screensaver a little bit.
Okay.
Tree of Life. Okay. You know.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? Here's life.
Yeah. Let's go.
On Earth and consciousness of people.
Yeah. Whatever.
And it's like, yeah, okay.
I was getting a little bit of like, you think I'm anti-French vibe when you kind of said, oh, you don't want to immerse yourself in the culture or whatever. And I just like to put this out
just
there.
Just state this.
Okay. Okay. Not a lot of people know. And I'm going to go on the record with this. Okay. I joined a pétanque club recently.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
A pétanque club?
Pétanque.
Yeah. Because he has it often in his stories, just like balls rolling.
Okay.
Are you familiar with pétanque?
No, not at all.
You don't know pétanque.
Oh, pétanque. Okay, I'm sorry.
No, it's pronounced pétanque.
So you mean pétanque?
Okay, so pétanque is allowed now, right now?
It is unofficially allowed.
As long as you don't spit in people's faces.
So do you do like some clandestine pétanque?
It's
you have masks and gloves so you don't have fingerprints on the balls.
Yeah, exactly. Because they go around, they fingerprint all the balls. It's true. No, but that's been an interesting kind of thing I got into during COVID, I think.
Okay.
Because it was sort of a solo activity. And then I was like, you know what? I should just join the club. And now I'm like only dealing with people and have relationships with people in French. And
then okay, so are
only
you,
in French.
Are you the American of the group?
So
you're
definitely the youngest of the group.
Oh, yeah, right.
An American, one of two, actually. There's another one. And there's another guy from...
It's an expat group.
Australia. But the majority of them are French. And French... Tunisian, there's some people from Morocco.
How many
it's quite
people
mixed.
Are in this club?
Oh, probably like 70.
And it's all men?
No, there's a few women. It's majority men for sure.
Yeah, because it's a bit heavy,
more,
those balls.
There's more American than women.
No, there's... Yeah, well, no,
it's
no,
more foreigners.
Yeah, right.
But it's actually quite cool because it's like a totally interesting way to immerse yourself in this city.
Because you changed the places where you play pétanque?
No, it's just down the road.
The same.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And you meet these people, and of course, there's this like way of socializing in France, which is specific. Yes. But then
you mean through pastis and through
Ricard. No, like okay, can we cut the stereotypes for a moment? Honestly, the ignorance.
I would love that.
The ignorance here is outrageous.
No, we don't drink alcohol, right? We drink Red Bull.
We drink Gatorade because we're getting in the game.
I love it that they're like so serious about pétanque. They're like doing lifts.
Dude, absolutely, dude. It's like, look, it's like when foreigners move to the U.S. and they want to become American, they like get guns, they vote Republican,
yes.
They become like super American.
Yes.
I'm doing that
you're
here.
You're becoming super French.
I'm like investing in wine, investing in pétanque.
Yes.
Not really wine. But.
Not really wine.
Do you have some super special shiny balls then for your pétanque?
I have, if you really want to know, I have quite a few triplets of balls.
Is that important? Do the guys judge you on your balls?
Okay, I can actually tell you. I can actually, if you're asking honestly, I will tell you.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to expose myself in terms of expertise.
Okay, great.
You ready for this?
About bowls. Okay, go ahead.
Everyone hold up their hand.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Everyone hold up their hand.
Which one?
Wait. Did you notice we all have different hand sizes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that means that we... Did you notice? I don't know. It was very quick.
Okay,
did you notice?
Great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Might have to
we
do
all have slowly. Different hand sizes. So that means we're all going to need different size bowls, different diameters.
That's like...
I didn't even know there were different diameters.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, yeah, but there is a maximum, obviously.
That's
I cannot like...
Right. You can't just...
Yeah,
shot
right.
put.
Mine is closest.
Maybe the guys. Maybe it's like a bulk contest. You're like mine.
Yeah, yeah. So you got the diameter.
Yeah.
And then of course you have the weight.
Oh,
and the weight varies
too.
Yeah. Okay. So the weight goes from there's. Let me just back up a second. There's two types of bulls in Bataan. There's one for recreational use, and there's one for professional use.
Wait, what? Really?
Yeah.
And what's the difference?
The difference is that the recreational uses price. Don't need to be price, yes, but the recreational use doesn't need to be all the same weight and or even okay. sort of same size. They're not measured as accurate.
Buy them in Decathlon supermarket.
You can get them in Decathlon. You can get them at Oboot, which is actually just down the street from here.
Okay.
Shout out. Shout out to my sponsor. Yeah.
He removes his shirt and he has like a t-shirt.
Pierre, you owe me 20 euros. And then after that, the weight is sort of up to you, your personal taste.
Okay.
Or if you're like sort of diehard about like the heavier it is, the harder it is to knock away or blah, 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 this and that. I don't really believe in that. I don't think most people do. You know, I mean,
when I love how there's two schools of thought. You know, of thoughts,
you know there's multiple. Yeah. As I was watching the Jacques Tati film and.
Eating some saucisson.
Eating some saucisson.
He's
and,
the Frenchest of all of us.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah.
No, but it's a super interesting, and I got into it during COVID just because there's not much else to do.
Yeah, right, right. And was it the only place you met people? So you're like, no.
Outside of just the people I know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But what's weird, or not weird, what's cool about it, and to your point, which is these are people that I only know in French. So they know I don't speak French very well, but we get along and like they know my name and they talk to me as if I understand completely, even though I get like 70%. When they use slang, I get lost because they say something and I think they said something else. And then, you know.
That's exhausting, isn't it?
It's a little goofy. But what's cool about sports in general, and I don't know if it's a sport or not, I'm not going to get into that. But what's cool about activities is that once you know how to participate in the activity, then you're accepted to the group.
Mm.
And then suddenly you're able to immerse yourself in a way that I don't think I would have in
yeah, especially group. In a group of yeah of French people. I mean, why would they?
And are they from all walks of life?
Yeah, there's all a. Ages, it's, I mean, the class issue. It's various. Yeah, for sure. People that's that are like right. there are people there that you're like.
It's a little bit of sports. It's like little wars. So obviously, it like federates people wherever they come from. And yeah. like you know what. We're a band of brothers, so we all do pétanque.
Do you have a special wink or a special hand movement?
Yeah, okay, well,
to recognize pétanque players, pétanquers. Like in the street.
Pétanquers.
If I saw someone on the street?
Yeah, you would like, oh, you see his hand? He's definitely a pétanque player.
It's usually...
he's a midfield player.
Honestly, it's usually like, oh, he said stain on his shirt. He definitely plays pétanque. You know, like
he has mustard.
Yeah, like oh, dude, that guy loves pétanque, like for sure. Yeah, he like yeah, you know, hasn't shaved in a while. You're like that guy plays pétanque for sure.
That's every hipster around, then, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
But it's funny too because it's a big deal in this country, pétanque.
I mean, in a recreational / aperitive way,
right?
Yeah, holiday campsite.
Yes. I mean, it's not that big of a deal, though, right? I mean, it's not like
I don't know, watching the Super Bowl. It's a traditional thing, though, isn't it? Yeah.
It's
it
accessible. Is traditional. It's very accessible. It's accessible.
It is traditional, but let's say that, okay, to go back to the Super Bowl, I've seen too much movies where, like,
too
in
many.
The family, too many movies where in the family...
Can we do that? Are we allowed to do that?
All right. I can't help it. Correct. Speaking English.
Let's go.
But... like in the family during the Super Bowl or whatever, or Thanksgiving, you know, they all play football in the yard.
Right.
I mean, to have seen this in that many movies, I feel like it's way more common than actual families in France that do play pétanque. I mean,
I don't think families in France. A,
yeah,
don't
first
have
of all,
gardens,
it's not between families,
they?
It's more between just friends.
But
and
also, yeah, they don't do family activities in their gardens if they do have one, do they? Apart from barbecues. I don't know.
Yeah, just, yeah. Do you, I mean, is it true those things in the movies? Do they really play football
so,
in between?
I think it's interesting you ask, because I think it depends on where you grew up in the States.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I never threw a football around with my father.
Yeah.
But,
let's talk about your father.
I didn't either.
Hey, okay, yeah. But I had a thing called a Vortex, which was like this little foam Nerf kind of
thing. Oh, yeah,
thing.
Right.
I used to throw that around with my sister or sometimes with my dad or whatever. But like it wasn't what you're thinking. For my family, just which is particular to my family, not a representation of everyone. We kicked soccer balls around because my sister was like a very high level soccer player.
Okay.
Is she still?
Yeah. Well, she's older now and sort of aged out of her college days and stuff. But yeah, she played D1 women's football, women's soccer. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, you know, the real deal, like put me in the shadows. Like I had to move to France. Like I had to get away. Yeah. Everyone's like, oh, how's your sister doing, man? I was like, oh, you know.
That'd be awesome. She's Google a champion of the world.
Let's Google
she's
your
the coach of the team.
Name.
But I hear what you're saying. It's funny you say football because I would have thought you would have said baseball.
Oh, right. I mean, even that, right? Because I think sports here. Yeah, there's no sports, I guess.
Football.
Yeah, I mean, there's no sports in between, like casual. There's no casual sports.
But that's what I'm saying. Do you not think pétanque does that?
I mean, pétanque is a casual sport, but it's really precise. It's like it's summer. It's kind of
okay.
The
seasonal.
The end of spring, and it's like between friends. And there's it's just a pretext to have a lot of rosé and to drink it in the bar.
It depends, because there must be retired people that's like their routine as well, isn't it? That's what I see my suburb. Most older people play.
Yeah, right. And obviously,
because they've got nothing else
all
to
the old
do,
people
you
know? Is like, okay, you play dominoes and pétanque.
Well, you can still walk, you do pétanque, and then you move on to other things when you can't.
Yeah, right. But it's really kind of, I mean, I would say selective, and also it would depend on the region, because obviously there would be a lot more in Marseille.
Sure.
And obviously in Paris. But other than that, I'm not sure there's a lot of...
It's not a lot of pétanque in Colmar.
No.
We'll have to do a
lot
survey.
Of things in Colmar.
We'll have to do a survey.
Colmar's nice. Come on. Come on now.
Come on now.
Come on.
That is weird, though. That in France, there's no casual sports. I mean, it is sport that you watch on TV or that you play like on Sunday with your team. But there's not going to be like, oh, let's kick soccer. Let's play around with the ball. Let's do something.
Yeah, that's something, right? Like even, I don't know enough about women's football, women's soccer here.
Right.
But like, do girls kick soccer balls around with their brothers and stuff? Is that a thing here?
They're not
like,
allowed here.
Oh, they're not allowed? Oh, okay.
They'll mess up the party dresses.
Ah, the dresses. That's right. And you don't want
to
get...
They go to balls and...
They go to ballet classes.
Right.
Girls. Yeah.
No, but like, you know, in Europe, it's not notoriously known for women's soccer like it is in the U.S., right?
Yes.
But they were pretty good, the French women's team.
Yes.
They're good,
of course.
Yeah, they're definitely
but
good.
But it's not a common thing.
There was an effort in the U.S. to... I mean, it's all about like the void. The void of soccer that was filled with the women, I guess, in the U.S. You know what I'm saying? It's like all the men go to football and baseball and whatever you want, and hockey even. And it's like, oh, soccer... we don't really play that. You know what? You girls could play soccer.
You can have that one.
I hear you. I hear you on that. Yeah. There's something
it's to like
that.
It's true. Whereas the men have totally taken it over in Europe, haven't they? It's their sport.
Yes. I mean, it's really like saying there's not a lot of female players in American football. Except, of course, if they're in lingerie or whatever.
Okay. Well, all right. All right.
The XFL. I
kind of disagree almost with everything you're saying. Because I don't think you realize that women play a ton of sports in the U.S. Like basketball's a big thing. Yeah. Softball's a big thing. Like it's not just like they filled the void of soccer.
Yeah, but
and
women,
I would argue that.
It's softball, you know. It's not baseball. You know what I'm saying? It's like
too
there's
yeah,
like,
but that's not...
you have to tweak things so you could go play with this. Go.
Nah, but dude, I
the patriarchy saying that.
Bro, I could tell you right now, a woman would strike you out. Big time. Softball, dodgeball. You just be swinging with your European arms going.
I'm not saying I'm better.
You
I'm just saying the patriarchy said,
all I'm saying,
don't touch the football, don't touch the baseball.
All I'm saying is the difference between an American man and a European man is how you throw. I've seen so many French guys like throw a baseball like you wouldn't believe, dude. Like, it's just like, what are you doing, dude? Like, they might as well just do the pétanque toss because it's going to get more accurate. It's embarrassing. Like, you really want to tell who's an American? Just give him a ball.
Yeah, but
tell him to throw it to you.
It's going to be the same thing with soccer, right? I mean, it's at one point, it's about what you see when you're a child. You know, if you see a lot of... that's why female players in France are really good also. It's because soccer is the game here.
Mm.
So obviously, I mean, you pick up on things. And if you decide to go into that sport, then you're going to be better than, I don't know, an Australian, I guess. I don't know. Whatever.
Okay.
They really suck at soccer.
I mean.
not my sport.
None of this is being fact checked. None of this.
Yeah, right.
We're just making this up as well.
Yeah, right. It's a podcast.
It's, no, it's true. It's like
pod science. It's bro science.
It's so good.
You're right about what you see when you're growing up. I listened to the other subject, Good One. Do you know the podcast Good One?
Where
it's a girl called London something. She's a British...
It's about the joke. No, yeah, not jokes. Yeah, jokes, right. Yeah. Right. To analyze one joke.
One particular joke. Okay. And she thinks she's called London Hughes. And she's a black British comedian who said that when she was growing up in England, all the comedians were white middle-aged men talking about their two kids and la la la. And there was nothing that she could relate to. So she would watch American sitcoms. And so her dream was to go to the States. And now she's being produced by Kevin Hart, I think. You know, she's rocketed. So there you go.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Was that a transition? No.
No, no. I mean,
but, yeah, stop talking about sport.
I totally understand this because, I mean, you've talked about French movies. I was like raised with American movies. So I do have a lot of American culture. I mean, even my culture as a person is probably, I mean, I do have a lot of American references before I couldn't even think about the French references of things.
Mm. Sure.
So you're like...
So you didn't grow up in France?
I mean, I was in Algeria till I was 9.
Okay.
And then in France. But I mean, even in Algeria, as a kid, I was watching like Back to the Future or whatever. So
I'm an American kid in Algeria.
I'm talking about.
No, but for me, it was literally like I was in France. I mean, in Algeria, so it was
nothing. But your narrative is almost more American than perhaps even mine or... I would assume yours.
My what?
Your narrative, like like how you came to France, like the immigrant story is inherently kind of an American journey.
Perhaps you can recognize yourself in that,
And also, our soft power of the U.S. is our culture.
Yeah.
It's like...
Yeah, right.
It's like...
That's what China should start to do, soft power.
When's the last time you listened to like a Chinese band?
Oh, never.
Or
although yesterday I was listening to the Red Army chorus, so it's the Russians, but
great
because I love them.
Or like Chinese movie that's not Wong Kar Wai.
I mean,
which he is from Hong Kong. Thank you.
Yeah, but I do. But that's because I'm a cinephile. But I mean, Americans have won the culture war, right?
Was it a war?
Yeah, and that's you know what? If while all the other countries were like, was it a war? Then they lost the war.
What war?
But yeah, by not doing movies that could spread their way of life.
Do you prefer, do you think you listen to more English stand-up than you say like American stand-up or other countries?
Just as an English person? Not now. I did. Probably when I was young, I probably wasn't necessarily stand-up, but English comedy.
Okay.
Like we had a lot of sitcoms and things like that were just out, you know, and obviously I'm very old as well. So I used to watch very old sitcoms, you know, which are completely politically incorrect now, you know. And then stand-up, yeah, I mean, the people that I can really relate to are people like James Acaster, because he'll talk about very specifically British thing. Sometimes when I start watching American stand-up and they start going on about Trump or something, or Bush. I think, oh God, you know, here we go. Yeah.
Why?
So it's true. It's your culture, isn't it? It's what you can relate to. When James Acaster talks about a Chris Dingle, which is a little candle that you take to church, you know, it's like, yes, that's me.
Typically British. Right.
Whereas nobody else understands it.
And for you, similar situation, like, are you listening to more French comedy?
More Algerian
English,
comedy.
American, Algerian, perhaps?
American.
Really?
Sure. I mean, I discovered stand-up with Seinfeld and just watched stand-up before there were stand-up here in France. So, again, my culture is like just, I was watching like, you know, the Kings of Comedy, Steve Harvey, Cedric the Entertainer, etc.
Absolutely.
So I was watching this. I was still middle school, I think. Collège, ça?
I think so.
Yeah, right. And so this is my comedy. I mean, I was watching comedy on French TV also, but there was a weird thing that happened in the, I guess, late 90s. They stopped doing comedy sets on TV. There was like big talk shows on primetime, and usually they had like a comic that would come and do whatever sketch, whatever character, etc. But then just disappeared. So I guess I just kept on just watching the downloaded specials I had. Okay. Like that.
Yeah.
Because your culture would be completely American, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but I do maybe more when I moved here, started watching British comedy.
So
there's a guy named
like?
Stuart something.
Lee.
Stuart Lee. This guy is like...
Yeah, but he's like the comedian's comedian.
Oh, is that right? Okay. Yeah, because like my buddy who's British at my old office, he was like, oh, you got to check out this guy. He's sort of anti-comedy. Like he makes fun of the medium and stuff. And I thought like, this is pretty excellent.
In France, I don't know if you know that they have this rule about you have to have 40% of French music on the radio.
Oh, wait.
Oh, really?
And you have to have 40% of money that comes from American films channeled back into French films or something like that, isn't it?
Yeah, there's something like that.
So this, which is why so many...
So it's like pro-French.
French movies get...
Yes.
Yeah, because otherwise they lose their culture. Mm. French will lose their culture. It'll be drowned in American culture.
Yeah, right.
So what do they do? A lot of radio stations put their 40% of French music on late at night already in the morning.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean? Ah, really? Okay. So it's like,
putting an all-woman film in it.
But,
it's like, done that for the
women. Like, check the box. Kind of.
I don't know if they do that a lot anymore because I feel like a lot of French people are listening to French music, right? They love it. I mean, the French, for example, all the people who are listening to rap music listen to French rap music.
Hmm.
They don't listen to...
Which
American.
Is kind of logical because I can understand it. Because it's about the words,
right,
isn't it?
Right, right, right.
Yeah, like what's like French rap all about?
This is your favorite subject.
Well, it depends. It's like, basically, it's like U.S. rap, right?
This free healthcare is killing me. Like, I got hurt and got a free appointment. Listen, is that what it's about? Like,
we have problems here.
Oh, you know,
oh, I
the government
my
took care of me.
Pen and ball.
Like,
that
oh no.
Would be good French rap, yeah.
Oh no,
yeah,
right. You know, like my mech, he got shot. Oh wait, he didn't get shot. There's no gun problem here.
Yeah.
Like, what's French rap about? Come on. Like, what are we talking about?
That's
here?
True that I feel that a lot of French rap, gangster rap, is like a little bit fake.
The guy at Monoprix was rude. Like, what do you...
I love how this is
it was 8:45. I couldn't go in, yo.
France is like a
like,
paradise
what you,
for you.
Yeah, like, are you kidding me?
But I'm saying... Yes, there are songs about like drugs, deals, or whatever, gangster, etc. But I don't believe in it that much. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like I could say okay for 20% of your songs about this,
mm-hmm.
but if it's like 60%, you didn't live that. That's not true. It's not Compton, you know. So it's like no.
Can't they write bad things, just things about women? You know, be a bit misogynist.
I guess, yeah, but that's like that's not cool, and also like. That's not new in rap, right? I French rap is kind of a paradox for me. Like Science Supercrew, that's fun music to listen to.
Okay,
you know
that's
I mean?
Already old, right?
Yeah, no, that's but that's your old. Best. That's the top. Like,
I like how you come.
That's the top.
I am not intense. Like, right? Right, guys?
I mean, this is your Tupac Shakur
group.
Fatal
Majestat.
You know, Angela. It's a hit.
Yeah.
It's a hit. I mean, I can't.
Is there any rap in that?
It's singing. I just think like these are dealing. I guess it's not fair to say people don't have issues. Everyone has issues and deals with it artistically in their own way. But just
I forgot like, my capital. I had to pay that extra bit.
It's like you haven't suffered enough. All right, guys.
No, but you know, there's like I don't know. There's like I'm not trying to be rude to anyone's struggles or discredit anyone.
But let's
I just think,
be a little bit.
But I just think there's something kind of cute. About French rap. and also like the rappers that are kind of doing the mumble rapping, that's even funnier to me. It's like
the mumble core language.
Yeah, like the Little Yachty of France. There's probably a few of them, right? Or the Migos of France. I can't name them because I haven't really looked into them.
I don't know them. Yeah.
But it's just kind of funny that like how these things come over here. Or like even like Booba, right?
Yes.
This guy lives in the U.S. No one's ever heard of him. You know what I mean? Like, no one in the U.S. has heard of him. It's like, what are you doing in the U.S., bro? Like, shouldn't you
I
be
think
rapping
it's
in France?
For the taxes. For the guns and taxes.
He needs some guns to get
because,
shot. He's trying to get shot.
Could you imagine being, like, a rapper from Compton and then moving to Bordeaux? You know?
Yeah, I guess.
That's your film.
Do you see what I'm
that's
saying
your
here?
Film.
And also, don't get me wrong. I'm not advocating for more violence or more drugs. I don't
you know,
want there to be that.
If you want better art,
you know, like I'm not.
You have to have
more
violence.
I mean, okay.
More pain.
I mean, like
more
for
struggle.
Remember,
yes,
I totally see you because there wouldn't be an Ice Cube thing about like today was a good day.
Sure.
You know, I didn't have to use my AK. No one's really... I mean, DMs. People are using their AK, but usually they're real gangsters, so they don't go into rap after. They just are gangsters.
Sure, yeah.
Pure. But I guess in the US, everybody can use some AK at one point, you know.
Depends on the state. Depends on the permit.
No?
No, it's funny. Like, yeah, it's true. It's like where I'm from, there's no AKs, but... You can but go to Arizona
if you miss that Vortex Mall or whatever. then...
But you have guns everywhere, don't you? Or not? Well, there's some states that are not allowed to have guns.
So I'll give you an example. So in New York City, if you have a gun, you go to jail mandatory 2 years. There are no guns allowed in New York City. Yeah, no permits for that, unless you're a cop or any of that.
Yeah.
That's why, like, Lil Wayne went to Rikers because they found a gun on him in New York City. Like, different people end up, even like sports stars sometimes end up having just a Glock on them, and then boom, they're
DSK.
They're very serious about it.
I love it. I happen to have a Glock on them. Oh, I didn't. I mean, I
forgot.
It's a fake. It's a fake.
Yeah, right.
No, but and it's true. Like, if you're on a tour bus and you, for some reason, have guns.
Oh yeah, right.
And you pull into New York and you forgot, and then you got checked.
So do they have like gun lockers at the entrance of the state?
There's, and you're in New Jersey, you can store it. It's very convenient. Ah. The white glove service. They thank you. They clean it after you get back.
It's your Beretta.
Thank you. No, yeah, man. Gun,
please don't shoot me.
Yeah. Have you guys ever shot a gun?
No.
Nope.
Not a shotgun, rifle, handgun, nothing.
I mean, just paintball, but no real gun.
Not even.
Nothing.
I'm Vicar's daughter.
Okay.
No real gun.
Don't do that.
We almost did that for a bachelor party.
Okay.
Because there's this thing in Europe where French people or whatever go to like Bulgaria or whatever. There's those packages where obviously you have your hotels, your club tickets or whatever. And also there's an excursion where you do a trip.
It's old Kalashnikovs from the war, you know.
Exactly. And they have like real guns from the USSR and you use it. And you even could use like a rocket launcher.
It's awesome.
you should
that's
do it.
We almost
just like getting married for, isn't
just
it?
Hilarious. Like Jean-Claude, we got the tank package. Oh, you got the tank package, dude. We're taking the tank. Yeah, dude, seriously.
But don't they shoot the tank? Isn't that the idea? Pierre Savenu talks about it. He's talked about it before.
I've heard there's this thing. I don't know if it's real, but you could actually use a rocket launcher against a cow.
Oh, no.
And you actually kill the cow for the...
That's a thing.
That's a thing.
Not, you're saying in Bulgaria or just...
That's
a thing. I mean, that's what you used to do at weekends.
I'm not sure in Bulgaria, but yeah.
I've heard about that in Southeast Asia.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's awful.
Oh, okay. So it might be Thailand or whatever.
Could be something like that. And I don't know if it's a rocket launcher, but it's definitely... Yeah, you basically pay and...
Yeah, and you can fuck a cow.
It's a terrible thing to do, and I would never do it. But yeah, I've heard of that. It's, ugh.
That's really sad.
One thing that's interesting about guns that a lot of people that haven't shot are familiar with it is the smell.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Gunpowder and all that. So when you go shooting, I'm not like a gun person, but I have a buddy who took me once shotgun shooting. We did clay pigeons, like where they shoot these like orange discs, and you try to...
Cool. That's very English. Yeah,
and it's actually, honestly, it's like kind of fun. Like, I'm not trying to be a gun guy, but it's fun. But what's crazy about it is like when you're shooting, you don't realize how much you smell like gun.
Wow.
It's always going on. Like,
so
if
you didn't...
Yeah, exactly.
If
and
you
you're
weren't
not
there and you came back from it, I would smell weird. I mean, you
wouldn't smell like it's like a cologne, but like it would be on your... Because you're covered in the powder and you're actually supposed to... Make sure to wash your hands before you eat, because you're going to be eating lead if you have it on your hands and stuff. So that's a thing. Even actually with fishing sometimes too. Like anytime you're dealing with lead or anything, you don't want that residue on your fingers.
When you're fishing?
Yeah, when you're fishing.
Use lead? What?
Yeah, lead weights. It's called
plumb. Weights. Forgotten about plumb. Weights for fishing.
No, but it's...
I thought you were shooting the...
Yeah, just... No, I just throw in a toaster.
Fucking sardine, just...
Wait, I'm all rise. Yeah, it's a new way. It's in the canal, so you know.
That is why you have to wear gloves when you kill someone, because they can do that powder test on your on your skin.
Also for your fingerprints.
Fingerprints.
Quite a good idea.
Yes, obviously. But even if you like melt the gun, they're still going to see that you use the gun.
Yeah, I mean, luckily we've watched a lot of American series that we know how to kill people.
Yes, that's true.
And how to hide.
That's another cultural export is how to get away.
Yes. thanks to CSI.
You still can. You still can get away with murder. And also in France, there aren't too many cameras, street cameras, whereas in England there are a lot.
I heard there's spray them everywhere.
Yeah. Here's a hot take.
Here we go.
Hot take.
Here we go.
I think it's easier than you think to get scot-free after having killed someone.
Whoa, really?
I think so.
I feel your like girlfriend it's like, is listening to
so
this.
It depends who's the someone, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah, no.
I mean, the level of investigation on French police or whatever, it's like, let's say you push someone in of a bridge, you just walk on. Mm. No one.
You're saying with
really
French
know.
Police.
I mean, like you said, because there's not a lot of cameras. I mean, if you choose kind of a little bit wiser, not even like being like a super serial killer.
Yeah.
And even if you're not, again, in Paris, where there's going to be, I guess, the most cameras in the city. Another city, you like let's say you grab a shotgun, you kill someone, just drive away. The time that... I think it's easier than...
You better clear your Google history, huh?
I think what you're saying...
Using another apartment to do my research on...
saying sort of taps into a little bit of like, the police here maybe aren't taken as seriously.
I mean, even, let's say even in the US, I mean, obviously I know more of the investigation in the US because of the movies than here. But it's like, if you kill someone somewhere with a gun and then you drive it. No one
only just
know.
Worked out who killed little Gregory, haven't they? And that was like, how many years ago? Well, DNA is helping, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's like...
But there was a guy that was killed in the Metro, an Italian journalist. It was a couple of summers... Well, maybe it's...
Oh,
maybe
if it's
five.
An Italian journalist, it's probably like the CIA or something.
No, but it was a few summers ago. I don't know how many, but it was somewhere like La Chapelle.
Okay.
Where there's an interconnect. And it was a corridor where nobody saw anything. And the guy was killed and they never found out
what happened.
Oh,
you mean he was really killed?
Yeah,
it was not like pushed on the metro?
No,
he was
murdered. I can't remember
okay, so that's
how.
Definitely some government agency somewhere.
There was no camera because it was like a corridor, you know, of the La Chapelle metro.
Wait,
you know,
right.
There's so many places where there's anything, especially in the metro, I would say. Mm. We could do...
I think it starts with? Mm-hmm. Getting rid of the minivans. The police minivans, not a good look.
Give away.
And they look like 1950s fast food workers with these like sort of paper hat things, you know? It's like, and I think once we get past that, we get better fitting clothes, especially for the local Marie police people.
Yeah.
We'll take them a little more seriously and then they'll feel more comfortable to solve these crimes because they're getting a lot of hate and made fun of.
So you think it's all about like self-esteem.
It's a self-esteem
We
thing.
Cannot investigate properly as long as you're not taking us seriously.
Yeah, because if you're just three guys in a minivan driving around, you know, pulling someone over on a scooter.
They need to go private, don't they? I mean, the problem is that in France, nobody takes any of the fonctionnaires seriously. Like police, teachers, you know.
Teachers?
So
really?
you group teachers with the police. So you think, because they're functioning. You know, you're right.
Thought police.
The thought police.
I was very surprised.
Okay, Minority Report. What have you thought here, James?
I was surprised how little respect there is for teachers in France. Not talking about me personally, but generally, you know, when my kids were young and so on.
Really?
And it's like, oh, they got loads of holidays. Mm-hmm. You know, people didn't respect them.
Is that
like
right? That's a real thing.
Parents.
The parents do. Isn't it a little bit like this in the US too? I feel like the security of the job, they want to say, come on, you have it too good. You just went into that field just to relax.
That's the French attitude.
Yeah. I think the people that are vilified for like the too good jobs are not the tenured college professors or tenured teachers. I think it's more like the finance people that have like the golden parachutes or even arguably doctors that like can't be fired because like they're, you know, medically certified and they're good to have a, you know, I'm a surgeon and I'll never lose my job. Blah,
so
blah,
you're
blah.
Saying
like, it's always the high earners that I think are more ridiculed than the teachers because the teachers.
Where? I mean, you mean in France?
In the U.S.
Oh, in the U.S.
Yeah, because you're asking about the U.S., right?
Yeah, no. Okay. Yeah, right.
Like we like taking down, we like to rally for the underdog, believe it or not.
Mm.
That's like an American thing, I think. So no one's going to be like, fuck the teacher who doesn't get. Sorry, am I not allowed to curse on this?
Yeah, of course.
I just realized. I was like, maybe I should have done
after
that.
After 70 fucks.
I was just like, no, but like, poo-poo on the teacher who...
You don't bleep it out.
Yeah, you should. That's good.
Yeah.
That you know, because everyone knows in the U.S. teachers... It's funny. We don't think about job security in the same way.
Yeah, right.
Because now that you say that,
maybe about teachers this. Don't have that job security in the States.
But you sort of do.
Okay, perhaps in the thought process, the teachers might be respected in the US, but in fact, they have to have a second job. You know what I'm saying? It's like...
Okay.
But here, it's like, if you're a teacher, you're good. You're just a teacher. You're just going to get paid every month. And you'll have to really, like, touch a kid to get...
Okay.
To be so out it's, of the thing. Yeah. So, I think, just knowing that from the public, and public says, oh, those teachers, they don't do anything, etc., even though they are working like everyone else. And it's a little bit like that for the police. I think you're right,
yeah,
Alice. Because it's like... Yeah. Once you get into the police, even if you judge a kid, you'll still be protected by your
just
friends.
Go to a different school.
Right.
Put you in another school.
And it's like, oh, you went in there for the job security, but not because you wanted to do this.
But I guess what you're saying then is it's just the thing for everything, which is the system or the governing body that's the problem, not the individual. Meaning, like, you can't blame the cops for a lot of things. You can't blame the teachers for a lot of things. It's more of like, what are they teaching?
Yeah,
what's
also,
the program? You know,
yeah.
What's like going on?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
But it's also just not knowing what's the day-to-day job of a teacher is.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
The ignorance.
Yeah,
okay.
We'll say you're slackers, but even though they work actually more
when
they
sitting
get home
in the,
or whatever.
In their coffee break going, yeah, those teachers, they do fuck all. You know, the teachers are like trying to control 30 rowdy kids.
Is there a good teacher's lounge in this country?
I have no idea. I mean, I've worked in schools, real schools, but I didn't find much solidarity or particularly.
I've never been in a teacher's lounge, but in my mind, this is like couches, free snacks. Like awesome stuff, candy,
not.
A lot of candy.
No.
I don't know.
It's just computers and photocopiers and people looking bolshy and trying to mark things.
They should have those lounges though.
The teacher's lounge could be actually the teacher's lounge in English could be a cool bar in Paris.
Oh yes,
and it's near the Sorbonne. Boom, the teacher's lounge.
You have to be
student discount
age.
On Tuesdays. You know,
no students. Come on,
he's just creating a pub right now, live.
Hey, we can go to pubs soon, can't we? Is it
19th May,
yeah. But that, does that mean we can
outside.
Go in? It's outside, not an inside.
Yes, there's something I don't understand. So the inside of bars and restaurants are
dirty.
Forbidden. But you can go to a cinema or a theater place or whatever, up to 800 people inside.
Inside.
So basically, like, we cannot do stand-up in a bar inside of a bar, but we could do stand up in a theater
because this is the distance, isn't that?
It's because of this. I don't.
And also, the cinema, you're all facing the same way, aren't you? Yeah.
Oh, really?
And
so
there's the mask. Yeah.
Oh,
so if you do stand up, I think you have to have your back to the audience.
Yes, of course. Of course.
Because then you're all facing the same direction, and then it's fine.
That's how I do stand up.
Yeah.
It's important.
By farting.
The real risk is being in a ring and you're in the middle.
Yes.
You know, doing like a Madison Square Garden kind of thing and everyone's looking
course.
At you and you're surrounded.
That's
not
day everything, one direction. Preferably facing.
That's difficult, I think. Because, you know, in the Panam, you have to look at every people like on the
now
left and the
right.
You
just have to have your back to them.
Yeah, right. And it's kind of, can be unsettling and sometimes you just lose the rhythm. And I think you just look in front of you.
Mm.
The people on the side kind of expect you not to watch them. So they're like, good if you don't.
You see, I always do my teacher thing where I make sure everybody's listening to
me. Yeah,
that's good. That's
I'm
good.
I'm listening to you at the back.
That's good.
Yeah.
So I always try to make, that's why I used to like the downstairs at Panam where you could see people.
Yeah.
That is a very teacher.
Should
thing.
We see people? I
Absolutely.
Don't think we should see.
Yeah.
I think they should be in the dark, the audience.
I don't like that.
You like them
no,
to be
I,
in the dark?
Like, yeah.
Really? You
yeah,
kind of like.
Bit, a little bit of the faces, but. Not too much.
Okay.
Because if they're in the dark, you've got a blinding light in your face, generally, haven't you?
Yeah,
that's
tricky.
What I
hate. Yeah.
Oh, not especially there. There's a lot of places where you're just the only one under the light, but it doesn't mean it has to be a great light for you. But
No, I know what you mean, though. Like, you get hit with that. Like, for example, like Comedy Lab.
Yeah.
I like the setup and everything, but it's true. Sometimes the light's quite
I think they just
bright and you can't really see much what's going
and
on.
And you're not
or,
meant to be a star. That's but
I found it out. Yeah, the hard way.
The what's it called? I've forgotten all the names of the comedy venues.
Jardin Sauvage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's that's got the lighting nicely done with the.
Yeah, it's good to have them in the dark because sometimes there are laughs that are shameful for people, and in the dark they will laugh more easily. And
I try to get the DJ to laugh at the Jardin Sauvage because if I get him laughing, I know it's okay.
Yeah.
Or the person working the bar because usually they're not paying attention.
Very difficult because he doesn't speak English. But yeah,
no, but like even if it's like I don't know, slapstick, I'll do it. Whatever.
Playing to him, basically.
Yeah. The challenges. Yeah, are you excited? Are you going to be the first ones on any comedy shows if they're coming back like in
what
June?
What is a comedy show?
What is a...
I would love to get back right into it. Absolutely.
Okay.
I've been not writing a lot, but I've had a lot of things I've been wanting to practice or try some new things on different takes on things for sure.
I feel like we'll see, you know. Mm. I can't remember. I think I did stand up last summer. Yeah, maybe September and then stopped.
Last time I saw you guys was at the Roast of Sam.
Roast.
That was in August.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Gosh,
yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, then we played a little more through September.
English things have died a little bit as well, haven't they? Because we've lost Comedy Lab probably.
Yeah, well, I guess it's on pause, but I remember... there was the
Comedy Croissant. The guy died. So I don't
know. Open air.
The guy died. Okay.
But it was very
old. Yeah, the owner. It's very unfortunate.
So who knows if that.
But Open Air was happening in September a bit, and that was the last show I played. Was on the
yeah,
La Mazette.
Yeah, that was good, wasn't it? But that was never permanent as a.
Yeah,
venue.
That was. Yeah, that was sort of a.
In so what are we going to have left? You know, what
yeah,
are the shreds?
But the bars, I think, we're just going to see after September. I think. Because
it seems that's when it's going to come back, right? Are you guys writing at all? Doing anything like that? Or
I for stand-up, not really.
Okay.
But I've been asked to do a clandestine stand-up later. By the way, I should
we'll
start
this, don't worry.
What time is it?
At 4:30.
Oh, okay.
But it's in the 15th, so I guess I'm going to take an hour to go there. But
or a solid 35 minutes, but okay.
I think I have to take the plane to go to the 15th.
Yeah. Plus, there's a manif. Huh?
I have my Air France tickets.
That's it. Unbelievable.
Since I had that on my schedule, so now everything went up in my head. So, I should say yes.
Mm.
So now I've written some things in my notes.
Yep.
And I'll have to structure them till a few minutes before I'm ready. But I kind of had made my peace of not doing stand-up for the whole year. So my brain was not on the stand-up thing.
Yeah.
If I had like some funny ideas, I would write them. But my brain were directly into like videos or fiction things that I was writing, but not stand-up.
You have a joke that I really like and really hate at the same time. Can I? Which one? I hate it because it hurts me as... from where I'm from. You have the line is, if can I talk about
go
it?
Ahead.
It's dodging knowledge better than bullets.
Okay.
And I think that's so good, but I'm like, it's so good, but I feel so roasted. Anyway, I just always, I never got to tell you that personally, but I think it's a great joke.
Thank you so much. I guess all my best jokes are the ones that I'm kind of improvising that stays on my set.
Mm.
So that's a little bit frustrating because it means that when I'm just scrapping my brain to be funny, I cannot
not
be as funny as when
that's super I'm frustrating, just sometimes.
So that's
so do you think if you've written new stuff though, I mean you could just rehash old stuff, couldn't you?
No, I can't.
Theory.
I mean it's like it would be totally weird for me to go on stage and pretend the whole last year was like normal. It's weird.
But then,
do
you want to hear people's COVID sets? Like in last summer, we did COVID sets and that was okay.
Right.
But now I feel like it's like.
So what I'll be doing right now, I'm just going to go into my angle that I already had in French. Because I'm performing in French. So yeah. on the conspiracy things.
Mm.
On the vax things, et cetera, et cetera. So that's kind of pertinent to still explore that subject. So I have obviously new things that are about this. And I'm thinking about like probably putting this on my hour. So it can be irrelevant, but also I have the other one, the other things that I had. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
So I have like some things to say about this. I love to roast those people, so I'm good. And I feel I'm not going to be like, huh, what a year, right?
But I think like your thing about the wine and so on, you could go down to real, really, really, really fine details, couldn't you? About
being
bored shitless, basically. Or, you know, how much you have searched your inner self, you know.
Also, I think there's a line too, which is like, people have really said this is like the worst time ever, but it's like...
Again, it's not Compton.
No, it's just, it's like, Paris has been through way worse times in its history, you know?
Yeah, but we didn't live through it though.
But this is like the lines about the grandfathers, isn't it? Some people make jokes about my grandfather. So you're suffering. You're suffering. You didn't. The grandfather.
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, that's true. That's true.
Oh,
yeah.
It's the same idea, sort of thing.
But I think the COVID stuff. Like, it's going to be interesting to see how people recognize it or don't. You know, in the comedy stuff.
Well, we kind of had that look into it after the first lockdown, so in the summer of 2020.
Yeah, right.
So when we all got back, so there were people, in French especially, who were just like doing the old bits.
Yeah.
Like nothing happened.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you were like, oh, I was Canada last month. Yeah. No, you were not. You were not, guy. But
that's true, like not recognizing.
We had the very first comedy. What was it called? The boat one, the open mic,
open air.
No,
Jardin Sauvage.
Yeah, but what's the
plateau? Wild open mic.
Wild open mic. That's it. The very first wild open mic after the first lockdown.
Okay.
And everybody came along, and it's kind of like survivors. Oh, you survived. Yeah. You're still here.
That's true.
You know, especially
no one knew how to interact
in the English language community. Some people just went home or went back to their countries.
That's
true.
That's true. Yep.
Or whatever. And so everybody just got up on stage and just talked about it. It was like a therapy session.
Yes.
But it was great. And it was some things came out that were funny, and you know, but it was fascinating.
Mm-hmm. This is
not necessarily as comedy.
An open mic should be, by the way.
Exactly.
This is like talk freely and some things are going to be funny. Yeah.
You're going to find an aspect, you know. And that was a really nice session, I thought.
Yeah.
But that you can do that at an open mic. You can't do that at...
Well, I don't know if we have like more traumas lined up. Perhaps we could be better.
Yeah, man. No, it's...
We've done an hour and 45 minutes.
Oh, my goodness.
Would it be okay if I did a small promotion?
Yes, of course.
That's all right.
Petang Boots? Okay,
absolutely.
Go ahead.
No, I said I've been writing. And
Oh, you have a book?
He was leading into something.
Yeah.
I've been writing, and this is something that it's... still sort of in the manuscript phase, but it's this new book. I don't know if I'm going to share this. It's called Oreski, The Man Behind the Microphone. This is the first biography by myself, James Blois. I don't know if we can get a shot.
So,
camera
yeah, yeah, right. Definitely. Yes.
Wow. So this is, it's still in manuscript form. I'm still working on it. Still doing some research.
Yes.
But I thought I'd bring you just an advanced copy.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We've worked a lot. So you
a
lot of afternoons here listening to my life.
I mean, you can even take a look at the back cover if you want to read
okay,
that.
Okay, so let's jump on in... Just, I love how it's general. Eski Sugar, born in the 1980s Algeria and destined for greatness, came to France to pursue a new life. From his first kiss at a bar mitzvah to his studies in Toulouse, learned why the man's true calling was being behind the mic and not behind a splash shield.
Right.
Great, great. Okay, so this is a quote of myself now. Wow, this biography's accuracy. It's as if the author was present from my childhood to now. I couldn't have retold my life story better.
Thank you for saying that, by the way. Thank you.
You're welcome. About the
amazing
author, though, you might be interested to know, James Blois is currently speaking about this book with Oreski and Elspeth on Oreski's podcast.
Yes, actually I am.
This is great. So,
basically you're going... very long, very thick. Has it got big words?
Well, I'm still working on it. Yeah. I mean, it's...
It's one word per page.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's...
How much for life, Oreski? Come on.
Mine but, you know...
Double the size.
No, where you go... I'm young.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, so that's for you to keep. I know...
Thank you so much. You know, thank you very much.
But, it'll be out soon, and we're excited have that.
I'm just going to...
Oreski, the man behind the microphone.
Thank you
by
so
myself,
much.
James Blois.
This is the best bit we had.
on this podcast ever. Wow. Wait, I'm just going to say. So thank you, James. Thank you, Elspeth.
Do you have? Thank you. Obviously, I'm going to put your Instagrams on. Your Instagram, of course, because you actually put some things on it.
Not again.
But James, when are you going to be present on social media?
So I post mainly on the stories. Yeah. That's my kind of thing.
Look at James's stories. They're fascinating.
Yeah, more of a story guy.
Fishing or pétanque?
Yeah, because that's all I've been doing.
Right. I actually saw a few stories of yours. Like, you have friends who are chefs, right?
I do.
Some.
Is that you?
Some people. Are they in trouble? Do I need to?
People. No, no. Okay. Yeah, I mean, you're in trouble because you're not inviting us in those clandestine restaurants again.
Ah, yes.
So we'll have to do that one day. So thank you again, and subscribe to those people's Instagram. And bisous à tous.
Bisous.
Thank you, guys.